What's going on, Damon?
Hi, Tim. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, man. How you
Good.
doing this afternoon?
I'm doing okay.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Hey, can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I record our conversation and when we're done talking, if you decide if you like it, maybe we can do it as a podcast? And if not,
No, that's fine, man.
okay. All right, cool. Yeah, that's there was another person who kind of did the same when he wrote me an email, told me his story, and then we ended up doing a show with it. So it was pretty cool.
Cool. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I have no issue with you sharing. And if you cut pieces out, I wouldn't be offended, you know?
Yeah,
If you chose one part that you liked and you didn't want to share the whole thing, I don't mind at all.
no, I'm more centered around the person I'm talking with. Like
Right.
if there's stuff you don't like, or if there's something that you might not feel comfortable with, or the whole thing, if you're like, nah, I don't want to hear that, like, okay, it's my the podcast is more about educating people and helping
Right.
people out than it is about doing some fancy entertainment show. I one way or the other, I don't really care.
Right. I hear you, man. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna get things started. I was gonna ask you a question, but go ahead. You can start.
Right. So, I mean, I reached out and first of all, I haven't finished the podcast, unfortunately. I didn't get to you got some long episodes in there towards the end,
Yeah, the
but six
interview.
hours was not enough time.
Yeah,
But
I like to have the interviews longer and just my commentary shorter.
right, it was awesome. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed all the ones I heard, but I was used to the 25, some of them 10 minutes, and I was like, oh, I'll definitely be able to finish on this ride home today, and it didn't happen. But so my experience, at least from the ones that I've heard, has been different. And the fact that my lucid dreams came to me, and I'm gonna refer to them as lucid dreams all the way through. And I kind of realized I was doing some astral projection after listening to your podcast. But they originally came to me without any knowledge of the fact that I could do this as an adult. A lot of people I hear talk about, oh, I started lucid dreaming as a kid, didn't know what it was. But I never did that as a child. I was actually probably 20 or 21 the first time I ever had a lucid dream. And I had seen Inception before that, but to me that was entertainment. I never realized people actually could control dreams or even had multiple layers.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so I had actually, it first happened to me, and I'll say, I didn't even remember dreams or recall dreams for probably 10 years of my life. Random little things here and there, and I actually quit smoking cigarettes. And when you quit smoking cigarettes, they will definitely make you have some dreams. So that's where it started. And it was just dreams at first. And one night I was in a dream, and I was actually working at a restaurant at the time, and sitting there, I'm serving a table in this dream, and something really weird happened. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this table and started thinking about it, and I was like, that wasn't of this world. And I realized, I told myself, I was like, that was a dream. And I actually said it out loud to the people at this table that I was serving. I said, I'm in a dream right now. And when I said that, my body got really, I guess I felt the vibrations through my body, right? And I kind of locked up, went into sleep paralysis. I fell down on the floor, and I was just, really excited about it. And I ended up waking up, and this is probably 3 o'clock in the morning that this happens. And I immediately grabbed my phone and start doing research. And I was like, gotcha. I'm thinking I'm the only person this has ever happened to in the world, And
Yeah.
so I start researching what happened. I just realized I was dreaming, find out about lucid dreaming, and then I'm wanting to do it, obviously. So I do some more research, and I found a method. First method I found, I was like, I'll try this one. And it was actually just doing reality checks throughout the day. You know, and the one that I read was actually somebody that just said, try to push your right hand through your left hand throughout the entire day. And you'll eventually come to a point where in a dream you'll do that and you'll realize I'm dreaming because your hand will actually go through. Which didn't work that way necessarily for me, but that very first night, you know, so that day I'm right hand, left hand, trying to push my finger through. And very first night I go back to sleep and it actually ended up happening again in the restaurant. I'm having a dream that I'm in the restaurant and I didn't even get to the point of trying to push my right hand through my left hand. But when I thought about that subconsciously or whatever you want to say, I realized that I was not in a dream, right? Because the first thing I did every time I said, try to push your right hand through your left hand, I was like, you're awake right now. But when I thought about it that time, I was, you know, it came to me like, you're not awake right now. You know, you have what was before what you're doing now. And then I immediately realized I was in a dream. And that kind of led me to, you know, I got really excited at first. And, you know, I was reading, you know, if you get in your dreams, you realize you're dreaming, you get excited. That'll wake you up and all these different things. So I was like, just calm down. And I kind of looked around and I started walking towards some people. And that dream became really crazy. You know, my first tendency when I realized I was in a dream and could control it, I wanted to use it for sexual reasons, right?
Yeah, that's
And
totally, dude, that's totally normal. Just so you know, just to let you know, that's literally like 90% of what people do when they first realize it. So
right.
just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Like, you know?
Yeah, you're not hurting
So,
anyone. It's just you. You know, it's just your own brain.
exactly. And that was my thought. And I actually, you know, I was going to kind of touch on it a little bit, but now that you've said that, I have a firm belief, and it changed the way that I lucid dreamed throughout the years, that whether it's lucid dreaming or astral projection, you know, you're actually affecting whether it's your soul or I don't know if you believe in parallel universes or anything like that, but I believe that the dream world is a connection to other parallel universes. And, you know, if yeah, I wake up and it didn't affect me, but what if I am affecting him in another universe and then he has to live with whatever I did in that dream, you know? And that actually changed, like I said, it changed the way I lucid dreamed and I stopped that completely.
Yeah, if you get fixated on it can be in the same way in life. If you get fixated on stuff, that's, you know,
Right.
yeah.
And so in that dream, you know, I went throughout it and I did that and I flew around a little bit, you know, I realized, hey, you know, people can fly. And I'm doing all this, I'm reading and I'm recalling that in my dream, like, hey, they said if I tried to jump up, I could actually fly, you know, float around. So I jumped up and I float around and something got me excited in that dream and I woke up. And so here I am. I didn't have another one the next night and I got to a point within, you know, this is all within a month, and I was probably doing it probably every night. You know, there might be one in between that I didn't lucid dream, and it got to a point where it was consuming my day. You know, I'm constantly thinking about, am I in a lucid dream? And I'm reality checking. And my girlfriend at the time, wife now, she actually said something about like, this is affecting who you are as a person. You know, I would go through my days and at work I wasn't the same. And when we'd go out and we'd do things. And that still kind of pushes aside. I mean, it was awesome. You know, this is something I never realized people could do. But it got so deep, I started having false awakenings, right? So I would get into a dream and I would wake up and I'd go about my day like it was a normal day. And around lunchtime, I realized I was still dreaming. You know, something crazy would happen, and here I am still dreaming. And these started happening, and it was rapid. You know, one night it was like one false awakening, and then the next night it was two. And I finally had three false awakenings and some sleep paralysis at the end of the last one. And, that's the only time I've ever had this happen. I've heard you talk about sleep paralysis in some of your episodes. And, for any of the listeners, I don't want to scare them. But it is one of the most scary experiences you will ever have in your life, And that, when I finally woke up from that one, I had decided I need to stop doing this for now. And at the time, I thought it was, I need to stop doing this completely. And so I quit doing it purposely. And I would say another 2 weeks or so later, I caught myself in a lucid dream, just on accident. I realized I was dreaming like I had done the first time, and okay, I went about it. And I still was, had these sexual tendencies at this time. I'm still getting into them, and I'm like, oh, look at that girl over there. Look at that girl over there. So I continued on with that, and that's when I kind of, and that, now it's happening probably once every month, and this is going on over a year or two. And I finally convinced myself that I needed to stop with that sexual tendencies in my dreams. I had this idea of I'm affecting Tim in another universe. So I promised myself that the next time I caught myself in a lucid dream, I would try to make it a useful experience. I would try to learn something from it. And I probably went another 2 or 3 months, after I had made this decision, I never caught myself in a lucid dream again. Well, finally one night it happens, and this is the most life-changing experience I've ever had in my life. I think about this literally every day that I wake up and go to sleep. This is on my mind. But I get in this dream, and the best way I can describe it is these spirits are there, and they're kind of childish spirits. They're giggly and laughy, and I get in there and I realize I'm dreaming, and they say, they're talking to me, and they're like, hey, let's go have some fun, follow us, let's go do this and that. And I told them, I said, look, I promised myself that the next time I caught myself in a dream, which I am in right now, that I would make this a learning experience. I wanted to learn something. And the spirits are like, oh, well, if that's the case, you can follow us. So, and this is a very, this is not our Earth that I'm on at this point. This is a very, the best way I can describe it is like psychedelic, really bright greens and yellows and blues and purples. And like the plants are like that, and the ground is like that. And so I'm following them on this trail, and we're kind of going up a path, and they're laughing, and I'm just enjoying, this beauty and this world that I'm in. And they take me to the top of this mountain. Now, when we get up there, they say, are you ready to learn what you came for? And I was like, yes. So they take me over the edge, and they show me. I am standing facing myself on the top of this mountain. And they say, if you want to learn everything about this universe, you have to touch your own eye. But they said, be careful, because once you experience this, you can't turn back. And so I walk over to myself, I think about it for a second, and I'm like, I've got to accept this knowledge. And I walk over to myself, and I reach out, and I touch my own eye. And when I did that, it took me through, I couldn't even try to explain in words, but just a vortex or tunnel of emotions and euphoria and understanding of other people. And I lived lives of other people as I floated through this. And I mean, as quick as it seemed, because it only felt like 10 seconds, I felt like it had been years, And I come back, and the next thing I know, I'm standing back where I am, looking at myself again. And all these little spirits were like, you have now seen everything that there is to see in this universe. And when they said that, the euphoria, I still had that euphoric feeling and just awe of what I had felt. And without the control over my own body, it was kind of weird. I lost control at this point, but I walked over to the edge of this mountain and I turned around and I stuck my hands out and I just fell backwards off the edge of this mountain, right? So here I am floating down this mountain, and it's not an Earth's gravitational force that's pulling me down. It was a very slow fall. And these spirits came back around me and they kind of grabbed me from behind and they lifted me up. And they were like, "You're not ready, or it's not your time yet." I don't remember exactly how they said it, but it was something, to that effect was, "You've got to go back." And when they said that, I woke back up in my bed. And it was such an, I've got chills in my body telling this story right now, man. And so that was, I didn't lucid dream again for a while. And they still come. That was probably 3 years ago, and they'll still come every couple of months. And I've been trying to find a podcast recently about lucid dreaming, and I'll randomly, come into my mind on a road trip, and I'll type it in, and I hadn't found them. And it's funny, the last time I drove down to Texas, which is what I was doing this time, is the last time I searched, and it was probably in May. And you started your podcast in what, June?
Something like that. I haven't kept track at this point.
Right. And so, I mean, it was right before you had started your podcast. So this time on my way down, I decided, hey, I'll search for it. And it was awesome to find, and it's crazy because I typed in lucid and astral projection came up, or the astral world. And so I got into it. And after hearing you talk about astral projection and what it is, I've come to believe that I was actually in the astral world in that dream. It wasn't a dream. And there's been a few other ones that, especially when I was having my false awakening, those were this world, right? Definitely. I mean, I was waking up in my house and going about the day and doing things. But I've had dreams, lucid dreams, where I can control things and I can stop time and I can do whatever I want. But I've had a lot of my dreams where I had no control over anything but myself. I was going through, it was like it was a regular day, except I was not in our present world, And so that's kind of been my experience up until I was listening to your podcast. And I'm sure I've missed some things that this whole week I've been thinking of things I wanted to talk to you about, and I don't write anything down. I'm a horrible person.
That's cool. We can
but
still keep in touch. I'm one of the reasons of making the podcast was really, it's not because I want people to hear my voice or I think I know something. It's more of trying to create a community, and I want to learn myself. So every time I talk to another person, I'm getting more, I'm getting equally as much back and forth. I'm learning. I don't ask, I don't lucid dream the way you're talking about at all. I've lucid dreamed
Right.
a few times, barely, and I definitely haven't had that profound experience, in a dream that you have had. But I think the one thing I do have to offer is the fact that I've had this for my entire life, and I really put a lot of time into reading and training and all that kind of stuff. So I at least can share a little bit of,
Right.
a little bit
That
of my,
knowledge and experience.
yeah, because so many people that what I'm finding, like if I look on Facebook and stuff like that, so many people are Facebook especially, just within the past year, just like you, I was searching for stuff, like looking on Facebook to find groups and things like that. And it was probably within only the last year or two that there was a lot of astral projection groups that have formed. But
Right.
it's so quick. Like within that year period, there's groups that are now like 20, 30,000 people are in that group. And then you look at the page and read all the comments, and just everybody's like, "Oh, I didn't know what was happening." And it's just the same story over and over. This thing happened to me. I had this dream. And so many people are having these things, and I don't know if it's that more people are having them or that we're more connected. It's probably maybe a little bit of both, you know?
Right.
So.
It's so crazy because, I heard y'all, I don't remember who you were talking with, but y'all were talking about how, this is kind of a lost form, right? And I don't remember who you were talking to, but y'all were talking about how it's in your DNA. And I'm trying to think of the
Probably
metaphor that y'all
Mother Nature.
used.
That's probably Arthur.
Yeah. And, but, it's crazy because as y'all were talking about that, I was thinking about, everything y'all were saying and that it being a lost form, but I also thought about this being something more new. I mean, I know a lot of old text talks about visions and things, but there's been a lot of lost, hallucinogens have also been lost a lot in the past.
Yeah.
And, people used them that didn't necessarily know what they were or talk about that they were using them. And I'm wondering if this is kind of an evolutionary trait that more people are starting to experience today and not necessarily something from the past,
Well,
And,
I'm sure in some way, in one way or another, like Jung talked about having the collective consciousness, you know, the collective
Right.
unconscious or whatever. I'm sure that in some way we are connecting with each other, and there's a lot of different ancient systems that have calendars and stuff, and one of them, I believe, I could be wrong, if somebody could correct me, I believe it's the Hindu system that talks about a 26,000 year period where there's like an enlightenment and a dark period. So we're
Right.
in that belief system, we kind of go around it, and within these 26,000 years, we go through these cycles together, just the same as like a life cycle as a person. You know, we are born, we don't know anything, and then we are middle age, and then, you know, we're old, and like we go through these cycles. I'm sure there's a larger cycle to human civilization. You know, we're getting to a point where we're probably going to end up in space. We'll either end up in space or we'll end up dead. So.
Right. Yes, that's another one of my favorite podcasts. I actually talked about that. I can't even think of the name of the theory now, but the idea that we will either expand into this universe or we'll die, and that's probably the reason that we've never met any other life form is because they die before they can get the technology to get to another solar system. I can't remember the name of that theory, but
Actually, just in that sort of in that vein, because I think there's a lot of different connections, and me and Arthur talked about this as well, with connections with things like if you call it aliens, it becomes more of a like that giggle factor, you know, of people thinking of little green men and stuff like that. But
right.
we don't know if it's something that could be, you know, beings that are ascended in like a higher energetic form. We don't know what the
Right.
next level is. If you think about 1 million years from now, we could be evolved past our, you know, past our physical bodies and just be energetic. We don't know
Right.
that.
I mean that, I mean how I can't say a date, but it wasn't too many years ago, and especially in comparison to how long we've been here, that we found the ability to see infrared light and ultraviolet light, and that's light that hits us every day,
Yeah.
and that's one, that dream that I just explained. I think about it all the time, and what were these spirits, and it baffles me every day, at least twice a day. Like I said, when I wake up, that's usually the first thing I think about, and when I go to sleep, and there's sometimes some days that I think about it 5 or 6 times throughout the day. It was truly amazing. But
Well,
kind of
you're
getting back. Go
good.
ahead.
No, please, you continue.
So kind of getting back on subject, you know, one of the things that I wanted to share in one of your episodes, you know, talking about binaural beats and, you know, different frequencies and how that affects the brain. And, you know, y'all were talking about how, you know, you didn't want to just get on YouTube or just download an app and trust, you know, some random app that they, you know, had these frequencies tuned correctly. And it might have been before I started lucid dreaming just to help us sleep. I don't remember for sure, but Yellow Brick Cinema is on YouTube, and I listen to their 8-hour videos every night. And they have different frequencies, and, you know, they're definitely different, I will say that. But I've been listening to them for years, and without scientific evidence, you know, I can say that it hasn't affected me negatively in any way. I would say I function fairly well, and it has allowed me to have these lucid dreams. And they've got some really good videos that I've listened to nightly. So I wanted to kind of share that with you, and, you know, you can look into them and see how, you know, if that might help you. I don't know if you listen to any music or, you know, frequencies when you delta waves or theta waves whenever you sleep, but they have definitely been useful for me.
No, I haven't, but I'll try it. So you said it was Yellow Brick Beats, is that what you said?
Yellow Brick Cinema.
Oh, Yellow Brick.
Yellow Brick Cinema. And if you look them up and you just click their video, it's kind of crazy. They do live videos every night. Not a big fan of that. But, and I say every night, I think they're 24/7. They just kind of have these computer, I don't know. I don't ever listen to those, but they've got 8-hour videos, and some of them you'll click on and they'll just be waves in the background. But if you kind of dig, a lot of their top viewed videos are the ones that I've actually added to one of my personal YouTube playlists. And they're extremely helpful. It's funny, like last week, you know, she started talking about the astral projection, and I was trying to do that, but I was in a hotel all week. And I don't ever connect my cell phone to Wi-Fi in a hotel, so I wasn't playing these 8-hour YouTube videos because that'll eat your data like nobody's business. And I didn't, you know, I don't ever really experience any lucid dreams or anything when I'm staying out of my home because I don't get to play those videos. Friday night, I got home, I laid on my back. And so I kind of wanted to talk about this.
Sure.
You know, I'd been listening to your astral projection, and I'd never even heard somebody discuss the actual separation of the body, you know, coming out of it and looking down from an out of body experience. And so I've been kind of trying that throughout the week, and I'd end up passing out every night. Friday night, I get home, I played some Yellow Brick Cinema, laying on my back in my bed, and I've got it in my mind, you know, telling myself, you know, you're going to ask the jag, let your body rest. And I think the hardest part for many people is forgetting that you're actually trying to do it, right? You got to let your body relax that much, but keep your mind awake. And there I go. I forgot I was trying to astral project. So I'm laying in my bed, and it was the weirdest. I can't really put it into words, but my leg itched, right? And I realized it itched, so I reached with my hand to itch it like a normal person would. And when I did that, I realized that I was starting to come out of my body. Right. I was starting to project. And when I reached, it wasn't with my real hand. It was with my astral hand. And I immediately freaked out. You know, I've heard you explain that that happens to you. You know, you start to do it and you get excited and you snap back in. And so I reached out to scratch my hand. It was my astral hand. And I got really excited and I snapped back in. But I froze at that point. Now, you know, I was upset with myself. And my heart's pounding, and I'm like, you know, I'm so mad that I was there, and my leg itched, and that pulled me out of it. And, but, you know, I felt those vibrations throughout my entire body after that, and I realized what it was. So that's Friday night. I lay back down. I try to do it, but my heart's pounding. My body's too awake. So I rolled on my side and go to sleep. And that is one thing. I think I've heard you mention it, but laying on my back seems to help me the most. And that might be a comfort thing, you know, me versus you. That seems to be where I'm most comfortable with my body, but able to keep my mind awake. And Saturday night, same thing. I laid in bed, and I didn't actually start to project out. Like, I didn't ever, you know, ever have control of my astral body, but I got into that state where I could feel the vibrations throughout my entire body, and ended up falling asleep again. So this astral projection thing is, it's thrown a challenge at me too, I'll tell you that. Actually trying to stay awake and pull myself out of my body seems a lot harder than, obviously for me it came natural, just realizing I'm in a dream. But I would definitely say that for lucid dreams, I think the most, it's not that challenging, but it's a mental exercise, I guess, is that you really have to convince, you know, like I said earlier, the reality checks. And you have to subconsciously convince yourself to check that all the time. And I've kind of gone back and forth between that idea and trying to do it. And I find that sometimes I'll, you know, whenever I say try to push your right hand through your left hand, I tell myself, no, it doesn't even matter. And I don't, I don't really believe in my mind that that's something I need to do, which doesn't subconsciously make me do it when I'm in my dreams. So you have to push that down and make that a true belief every time you do it. Like, I can push my right hand through my left hand. And then, like I said, whenever you get in the dream, you'll think it and you'll really believe you can do it. But instead of going, I'm awake and I'm really trying to do it, you realize I'm not awake. I've been asleep. You know, I went to sleep before and now I'm here. And it happens to me every time now when I realize I'm in a dream. And some dreams do just come to me accidentally. You know, I'll realize something really funny and I'll look at it and I'll go, oh, you're dreaming now. And I feel like I'm kind of mumbling on now.
I'm going to touch on a couple of different points just for the sake of maybe just a little bit of clarity. And when I talk about stuff, when I talk to people, whatever people's dreams or experiences, I don't think I could ever know exactly, you know, what it was, what your message was, or anything like that. So it's basically just speaking from my own experience and what I've heard and stuff. So,
right. So
one of the things is sleep paralysis, and kind of I'm gonna do a little forward and backward commentary on that. So, you know, sleep paralysis can be kind of a common thing, and a lot of times, you know, people are terrified, especially if they don't have any experience with it or have never heard about it. But there's another side to it, and this is why it's a good place to start, is because the other side of sleep paralysis, and just to explain kind of what sleep paralysis is. Sleep paralysis is that your body fell asleep. Your body fell asleep, your brain flipped on the switch to release whatever process, whatever chemicals. I did a little bit of research, but I can't speak intelligibly about the actual process. But something happened where it paralyzed your body, your brain paralyzed your body, and your mind is still awake, and your astral body is kind of a little bit of awake too. But you're not able to project yourself because of not having that awareness.
Right.
On the other side of it, when you're actually aware of what that state is, it's a blessing. People who are trying to astral project and are aware and have had the sleep paralysis before, when you get into that state, it's like, boom, it's go time. Like, I know my body's asleep now, and all I have to do is wiggle my way out of my body using my astral body, and it becomes like this little challenge, like, okay, can I get a finger? Can I get my head? What am I gonna do here? Can I? And you're no longer trying to move your body. You just know that you want your body to stay there, and you're gonna move your fingers and toes or whatever it is that you can move. If you
Right.
can roll out or float up or whatever. So the scary side of it comes from partially from not knowing, but at the same time, all of us have things that we need to work out emotionally or whatever's affecting us in our lives. And I've talked about it probably a few times now, so hopefully I'm not boring people, but I had that for a long time growing up. And when I was, a teenager, maybe into my 20s, I would drink and things like that, things that were negative for me. And those things would occur. Those sleep paralysis, or maybe waking up and seeing things and having those kind of nightmarish, half nightmare, half awake experiences.
All right.
And that's definitely the negative side of things. But when you work on your emotions and when you work on unblocking yourself, that's, like unblocking your energy is also like unblocking your emotions. If you have like that mental and emotional baggage that you need to take care of, when you can start to clear that up and have more of a positive, spiritual, even religious, like whatever outlook, something that's universal and, bigger than yourself, like that kind of experience,
Right.
you can have more positive experiences and end up like what you were saying about when you finally realized in your dreams that maybe having these sexual experiences is not the most beneficial way to use these dreams. So I think you had what is like the pinnacle of what people would want out of a dream or a projection or whatever, which is getting in contact and getting in touch with your helpers or your guides or whatever people want to call it, like getting in touch with a higher source and being able to connect. Now, to me, that seems like what your dream was or projection. Again, I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what it was, but
Right.
it does sound like a real experience that you had.
Definitely. It was amazing. And so one thing that you just said, and that made me, you're talking about the emotional baggage. And last night I was actually sitting in bed and I was kind of talking, she knows, she's heard these stories and everything that's happened before. But last night I was kind of telling her about your podcast and how, these last couple of nights I've been trying to astral project. And, so then we started talking about dreams and she was telling me, she said, I wish I could do stuff like that and have, those experiences. But she said, every night I have night terrors and nightmares and I hate sleeping, And I actually told her, I said, well, look, I said, one thing that you have to do is every night that you go to bed, you have to make a conscious effort to have good dreams, right? Especially if you constantly have nightmares. You go to bed and you're scared that you'll have more nightmares. So, you have to make that conscious effort and tell yourself that you're gonna have good dreams and you're gonna enjoy that tonight. And that, you take that a step further and then you say, I'm gonna become aware that I'm having good dreams. But she woke up this morning and she turned over and she said, I had a good dream last night. And I mean, that was one night of just me telling her, like, look, you have to consciously tell yourself this and think about it. Don't go to sleep scared to have a nightmare. Don't go to sleep thinking I'll never astral project. I'll never have a lucid dream. And even if last night she did have a bad dream, tonight she would need to try it again, and tell herself until you truly believe it. And I think that's the biggest thing. I kind of said that a minute ago. You have to truly believe and make yourself fully commit to the fact that you believe this can happen. And when you get there, it'll happen. You'll realize it'll happen. And You talked about the once again just the emotional baggage, and I know that you've kind of cut back on the podcast and putting the shows out every week because you said you're stressing about that. You're going to sleep and you're trying to get into a state that you can enjoy, and you're also thinking about, oh, I need to talk to the people about this, right? And I need to let my listeners know that, this is what I'm experiencing tonight. And it's about letting yourself go. And I'm very blessed that I'm able to do that. I can carry the burdens of work and everything throughout the day, and when I get home, I can be stressed. But when I lay in my bed and I lay on my back, I can forget about everything. And I love, the whole not giving an F.
Yeah, Tom Yankee.
Because that really is true. That's what you have to do,
Well, especially for that moment, that's what Tommy Hickey was talking about too. Even like himself, he has all that baggage that he deals with during the day, like everybody does. But at night, or whenever he's trying to do it, he just lets it go. He just lets it go for that moment.
And I still, once again, I think that's part of the, like I said, I almost fell asleep Friday night, and then my leg itched, and when I reached to scratch it, I realized I was starting to project. But I think that's the hardest thing about any of it is you have to stop your mind from thinking about anything, which is exactly how we fall asleep, right? Like that's what you do when you go to sleep. You stop your mind from thinking. But then at the same time, you have to keep it conscious, and it's a really weird experience. It's hard to do, especially with the astral projection. Like I said, I thought I was fairly good at doing this, and I was unable to do, to keep myself awake for that part, at the beginning of the night. It seemed, my dreams seemed to, lucid dreams come in the middle of the night, and I had something else I wanted to share with you. Oh, it was after just recently. So, and I have mild lucid dreams, like I said, every couple of weeks or once a month or whatever. But I had another lucid dream, and the story is definitely not as in depth of what I can remember about it. I wish I would have written it down, and I'm bad. I need to, take in your 30-day challenge and start writing my dreams whenever I remember them, because I do exactly what everybody else does. I wake up and I say, oh, you'll remember it in the morning. That was super vivid. And then I don't remember it, And I think I got spoiled with that dream that I explained a minute ago, because I never wrote that one down. But it was so, empowering that I definitely didn't forget that. So I think all these other ones I won't forget. But I had a dream probably 2 weeks ago. And I realized I was dreaming, and I looked around, and I was actually in the study lounge of the school that I graduated from, college. And I looked around, and I didn't really recognize the people that were there. And talked to the closest person to me, and I said, "Hey, excuse me." And I realized I was dreaming at this point. I said, "What year is this?" And they all started kind of laughing at me, And they're like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I'm in a lucid dream in the year 2018. What year is this?" And one of the girls was like, "It's 2014." And, they all got really serious, and I don't remember what my mission was, because the second she told me it was 2014, I had something that I felt that I needed to do in 2014. But they all started distracting me, and she's like, "2018, what's happening?" And they're wanting to know material things that are going on in 2018. And I told her, I was like, "Look," I was like, "you're making me think too hard. Like I could feel myself. I don't know if you've ever felt yourself coming out of a dream. You don't just snap back. Sometimes I do. But sometimes I can start to feel my body tingle, and I'm kind of getting into that sleep paralysis state, and next thing I know, I'm awake." And I told her, I said, I'm getting too excited, and you're making me think too hard. I'm not going to be able to stay here if you keep persistent on asking these questions." And she just kept asking and asking, and sure enough, I ended up waking up. But it was such a weird, that was the first time I'd ever time traveled, you know, and woke up in a dream and asked somebody when it was, and they told me 2014. but that was another one of those experiences and very vivid waking up part, you know, the feeling those vibrations and being woken up from it. And, you know, to anybody listening and you know, getting excited is the worst thing that you can do every time, it seems to get me. And I think that's one of the, you know, going back to the sexual tendencies, you know, and I've read this and experienced it, is that that's one of the most exciting things in the world, right? And so if you become lucid and that's your first thing that you want to do, you get really excited because you're thinking about sex and it'll wake you up almost every time. I caught myself, you know, I had these tendencies and I would go and I'd, you know, I never actually had sex. You know, I might would see a girl and touch a boob, or I might would lift the shirt up, or, you know, do whatever, but I'd always get too excited and boom, I'm back in my bed awake. So it's something that, you know, if you are doing that, there's two reasons for in my opinion, to drift away from it. One, you're not able to lucid dream because you're getting yourself too excited. And two, I really believe you're affecting yourself in a parallel universe, which you would hope that anybody in a parallel universe wouldn't dream and come affect you in that way, you know? So.
Well, let me touch on that as well. Were you finished with your
Yeah,
train of
yeah.
thought?
And I will say, I don't know how much longer we'll talk and how much longer this will go, but if you have questions, you can interrupt me, man.
Yeah, sure.
I'll keep talking and talking, and then I'll all of a sudden run out. So.
Okay. Well, at the same time, I really do. My favorite part about doing this podcast is when I get to talk to somebody else, because then you do the work, you know? Like, I just get to ask
Right.
questions and you do all the work for me.
But.
So, and again, you know, there's only so much that I know, and really, I kind of don't know anything except my own experiences and just reading about and hearing other people. But there's a deep connection between, you know, your energy body, your mental body, your physical body, and all these different layers. So the idea of different dimensions, definite possibility, and where that might actually affect you, I can't say for sure. You know, I don't know it for sure, but I have heard from people who are much more trained and advanced on how, especially when you're projecting, because you're projecting with your energy, if you're
Right.
doing something with your energy body, it can affect your physical body the same way that, you know, just think of those things as all being like a, you know, layers, like layers of a cake or something like that. They're all one thing, but they're all layered together. So in the waking time, in your waking world, if you have something on your mind or if you're stressed, it affects your body, right? So you're getting
Right.
the cumulative effects on your body of that stress. And that also affects your energy. One of the books I talk about constantly is Psychic Vampires by Joseph Leet. He has pictures of your energy system and how it gets affected by your emotional state. So they're all interacting with each other. And the reason you know, talking about that with your dream and your the tendency that you and, you know, everybody has towards, you know, sexual things, especially if you have complete control, it feeds and it serves like a base level need that we have. But if we get fixated on that, it can make us into more of like a, instead of thinking like how we're humans and we think on a higher, you know, a higher level than other animals do. We think on a much higher level. We can bring ourselves back down to kind of like a base, you know, and it, there's a lot of other things like aggression and things like that. Like in a lot of my lucid dreams, I'm fighting a lot of times. So that's like a base level thing too. Like I'm fighting monsters and stuff. And it's, you
Right.
know, my fears and all that kind of stuff. So.
And yeah, I've definitely experienced those fights. And that the sleep paralysis that made me want to stop trying to lucid dream was I guess before I mention that, going back to what you said, sleep paralysis is kind of like the holy grail of lucid dreaming, because that's what you want. When you realize that like I said, the very first time I ever realized I was dreaming or lucid dreaming, I went into sleep paralysis. I fell on the floor in that dream, and it was kind of scary at that point, but it was part of it, and I woke myself up. What got me was when I had that last sleep paralysis. I had some very bad things going on in my world at that, my physical and conscious body. And they were they, I was sleep I went into sleep paralysis and was facing a demon, and that's the best way I can describe that. But so, and that's what scared me so much. And that's, people that are listening to this podcast are obviously trying to lucid dream, and hopefully they're not listening to just this 30-second part, so they know what sleep paralysis is. And they know if that ex they experience that, they can wake themselves up. And I wish I had known that I could get myself out of that sleep paralysis when that happened. If you ever find yourself, you literally just have to tell yourself to wake up. If you're in a lucid dream and something bad happens, and I've done it plenty of times since then, you just simply say, I want to be awake. And it seems too simple. It gets a little more complicated than that, but
Well,
it's not hard to wake yourself back up, if you find yourself in a state like that.
it's like what you're saying about really believing. Like if you when I'm in my dreams, if I'm fighting or being chased or whatever, it's not as terrifying as like most nightmares are. It's more fun than anything. And if at any point it gets too intense, I literally just stop the dream. I can say at any point, stop, and the whole dream will stop.
Right.
But it does that because I know I can make it happen, because I know I've done it before. I totally believe it. So I can just like, whatever, like snap my fingers, hold my hand up, and just stop. And anything that's chasing me, everything will just pause in mid-frame.
Yeah. And that's so what's so beautiful about lucid dreaming, man. You can stop anything, man. It's awesome.
And the I think I might have talked about it before, but just to retouch on the connection between lucid dreaming and astral projection, they're not completely separate. They're just, one is internal in your head, and it's subjective, and the other one's more objective because you're literally outside your body in the outside world. But they're not
Right.
completely separate, meaning there's examples I've heard of where people who are trained projectors and they've had a lot of experience, you can go outside of your body. Say it's me, right? If I at night project it outside of my body, but I'm not consciously aware of it, because that can happen if you're outside of your body. You can actually, while your energy, your energy body, your astral body is outside of your physical body, you could be having a dream. And so people have seen this. People have seen other people projecting out of their body, and they kind of look like zombified, almost like, you can see their body, but they're not conscious. They're having a dream, the way like, in a dream you might move around or whatever.
Right.
So that's an example of how you can see in physical, like in an action, somebody's projected out of their body, but they're not aware. They're dreaming inside their head. I think examples of that inside a dream would be like dreams where you're floating or flying. You might have dreams where you're floating or flying, and that's a subjective experience that you're dreaming it, but you literally could also be outside of your body doing that. You could be outside of your body floating and flying, just not realizing that you're projecting. I don't know if that sounds confusing or not. I tried to explain that to one person, and they seemed confused.
No, I mean, I completely understand where you're at. And, you know, that's, like I said, I've always just called these lucid dreams. And, you know, I have those dreams, one to where I'm floating or flying. And, you know, I think the best comparison that I believe you said it, is, you know, in a lucid dream, you can control external factors, right? So I can be there, and I mean, somebody who's well enough versed in lucid dreaming can just say, I want to be on a beach, you know, and then boom, they're on a beach. And, oh, I think I want a chair right there, you know. And astral projection is, like you said, it's very objective. It is what it is.
Yeah, like if I want to walk through a wall, like that physical wall will be there, but I can walk through it. Like, that's the objective reality part of it.
Right. And so, you know, going back to that dream I had earlier and plenty of other dreams that I've had, is I had no control over them. You know, I've been in dreams where I can control things, and then I had those where the only thing I could control was myself, and I was along for the ride. You know, those spirits or whatever you want to call them said, follow us. So here I went, you know, and I was enjoying this world that I was in, which was not planet Earth, but I truly believe that was a physical world somewhere. And I say physical, it might not have even been physical, but that was, you know, what is physical?
Exactly.
we can make this a philosophical podcast.
Well,
but,
it sounds philosophical, but when you get to quantum physics and things like that, like there are scientists deconstructing the nature of reality, and reality becomes less and less physical the deeper and deeper you get into it.
Right. I mean, everything's energy, man. And that's what we're talking about projecting is energy, right? So,
yeah.
You know, at the base level, any atom is energy.
So let me, I want to make sure that for the listeners, that I get a complete understanding of what your process was. Leading up to when you were, you know, lucid dreaming like every night. So can you go through that? You were saying doing reality checks, but can you kind of walk through like, this is what you did, this is how you did it?
All right. So, you know, like I said, that first night, first time I ever realized that I was lucid dreaming. That day I woke up, I did some research, which I would hope that anybody listening to this, and I would highly recommend, you know, this podcast is great, but do some reading and, you know, find things that, you know, I understand a lot of what you're saying, and it might be because I've had the experiences, or, you know, but find something that connects to you and makes, you understand it in a way that your mind can comprehend. We're all different, even though we're all the same. But so, you know, I read, and that's, you know, I read this, I can't even think of the word I'm trying to use, but this technique, there we go. You know, I've got this technique, and it says, you know, do reality checks. And they gave multiple different examples of ways to do a reality check. But the one that stuck to me was simple. Take your right hand, look at your left hand, and try to push your right hand through your left hand, you know, through your palm. And when, you know, I started doing that, and I did that multiple times throughout the day. Anytime I would think of it, I would actually do it, you know, not just think about it. And that's what I was saying a minute ago, is, you know, a lot of times that it wouldn't work for me later on, is I would say, put my right hand through my left hand, and I would say, you're awake. And I wouldn't physically do it. It doesn't matter if you know you're awake or not. Do it every time you think of it. And make that a subconscious action, you know, just like breathing. It becomes natural. You think about it while you drive down the road, and you look down and you try to push your right hand through your left hand. And like I said, you know, the technique, you know, when I read it, he said that when you're in a dream, you'll actually look down, you'll put your right hand to your left hand, and it will go through because you're in a dream and you really believe you can do that. Well, I found that I never even actually had to get to the point where I actually tried to do it in the dream, because when I would think about that subconsciously while I'm dreaming and I would, you know, go right hand to left hand, at that point I would realize you're not awake, you know? And it's just realization, because you know, how did I get to this point? You know, we know we're awake 99% of the time. I can't say 100%. We know we're awake almost all the time because we're awake. This is our, you know, this is our home base. This is our reality. And when you're in the dream and you do it, you realize, like, how did I get here? You know, what was, you're in a dream all of a sudden. You don't know what was before that or not. You go, oh, crap, I went to sleep, and now I'm here. So some people might actually, you know, have to go through the point of believing they can put their right hand through their left hand and actually doing it, and when it goes through, they'll wake up. But I think it's less of the action and more of the training the mind to really believe that that's going to happen and question, am I awake? You know, it's not the sticking your hand through your other hand. It's not, you know, any other reality check that you might, you know, run into or read. It's truly believing and questioning, am I awake or am I in a dream? And when you do that in a dream, you'll realize, oh, I'm actually in a dream. So, you know, and ask a question if that wasn't clear enough, or if, you know, I can clarify.
No, that
seems simple to me because I've done it.
No, but that's perfectly clear. Like, I know from my own experience how that has kind of, how that's worked for me. And I think that, you know, since I am not to a point where I do it daily and I'm, you know, I'm able to do, you know, these experiences daily, I can also understand people who are just starting out, because the idea of belief becomes very, like, outside of you. Like, what is it to truly believe in something? But
right.
There's a lot of experiences in life that you can kind of describe in that same way, that you don't know until you get to that other side of it. So same thing of, like, say, falling in love or something like that. Like, you could walk around trying to find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and try to fall in love. You can try to do that as much as you want, but you might end up having a bunch of failed relationships. But
right.
The moment you're in a crowd of people in a party or walk, you know, whatever you're doing, and you look in a room and you see that one person, and you instantly fall in love, then you know. So it's the same kind of thing that, you know, whether you're in sleep paralysis and all of a sudden something clicks and you're like, hey, wait a minute, this is exactly what I need. My body's asleep right now, and the light bulb pops off. So I wish I knew how to actually, like, flip that switch and have that belief system. But I think kind of like what you were saying about read books and find out what connects with you, I think it's to each their own. Like, it's kind of like falling in love. You're going to have to search and search and search until you find that thing that clicks with you.
Definitely.
So,
and I wish the universal knowledge would be nice. We could just all say, hey, do this. And but the mind, not that simple. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at one point it could be boring. I think people take for granted, like, if something comes that easy. You know, we already have such amazing, you know, powers that other animals on this earth don't have. with speech and the different intellectual thinking we had, you know, self-reflection and all that kind of stuff. So,
right.
But we just don't even pay attention to it anymore because it's just natural.
Yeah. I mean, even that animalistic, I mean, you know, just saying something natural, it made me think of, you know, our hearts, right?
Mm.
Beat every day. We don't think about that. That's an involuntary muscle. It just happens.
Yeah.
And because we've had it for so long, I mean, at what point in life did an involuntary heartbeat happen, you know?
Or breathing.
Right. Everything that our body does involuntarily, you know, and that's what's amazing about even the simplest forms of life. You know, you break it down to a cell and the things that a cell does inside of it is completely amazing.
Yeah.
So
hey, is
one
any...
more
go ahead.
Yeah, one more thought I had, and we're talking about sleep paralysis, and this is, I won't say off subject, but not necessarily lucid dreaming. So have you ever heard or read the idea that sleep paralysis actually comes from when we were apes? And, you know, that evolutionary process of the fact that, you know, they were sleeping in trees. And they've noticed this sleep paralysis trend in a lot of animals that live in sleeping trees. And the body does that to protect it from rolling out of the tree when it goes to sleep.
Interesting.
And yeah, so that's, I mean, even that sleep paralysis is a very basic animalistic, you know, action by the body or mechanic of the body. And, you know, we've obviously don't sleep in trees anymore. Some people do, I guess, but so,
well, that also,
you know,
that also happens with people who sleep in the same beds as their children. You know, if they let their kids sleep in the same bed or their baby. Don't mistake me recommending that you should or should not do this. But for the most part, from what I've read and from personal experience, everyone is afraid that they're going to like roll over and crush their baby. But that doesn't actually happen. You just have a natural instinct to not roll over, to not move.
Right.
And again, I'm not recommending it because one person out there, it'll happen. But,
right.
You know.
They're like, oh, that's how I could enter lucid dreaming, just put my baby in the bed.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah.
No, but I think we have, yeah, those natural instincts.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask you is, I think we could sort of wind down our conversation, but before we do, is there, you think there's anything, because you've been listening, is there anything that you would, you know, questions that you would want answered that maybe that I might know?
You know, one thing, and there might be a source, I don't know, one, I requested to be in the group. And you might have this in the group. I don't know if you've accepted me yet for the, like, the private group, not just the podcast, but the Astral World group.
Yeah.
But one thing, you know, like I said, I'm horrible at writing things down. You know, if I could, you know, some of the books that you've mentioned and other podcasts and things like that, if you could get that written down somewhere, because now going back through all the podcasts to try to find the ones.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying.
I know you've mentioned this. Is it Psychic Vampires? I mean, you mentioned that one tonight, and that's why it's coming to my head.
That's a good idea. I haven't thought about that. I should put that. I'll put them up in the Facebook group where I'll link them in the description as well.
Cool. And, you know, we talked a lot just now. I mean, my mind's starting to kind of wind down. Honestly, I don't think I have any questions, but
that's cool.
I've definitely had plenty, you know, through listening, and I'll try to be better. And, you know, if I think of one, you might get 10 separate emails from me when I listen to the next couple of episodes, but I'll try to send it as I think of it.
Yeah.
Or even text you. I've got your number now, so I'll, you know, I can text you and
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to get back immediately, but if you've got those and you can kind of see them and think about them.
Yeah, and you can also post stuff on the Facebook, but it's kind of right now there's not a lot of people in the group, so I don't know how many people will be answering. But so either way, Facebook group or you can
Right.
text me.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, and I think, like I was saying, I've learned as much from you as, maybe even more. So it gives me something to go on.
Yeah. It's like I said, you changed my whole perspective of, even though I've been doing this for a couple of years now, actually bringing up the astral projection. And 'cause I think about it, but I don't do much research. I've got more time in my hands now than I did. I was in school for, I graduated in January, so I was going to school through all this and didn't have time to go read a book about astral projection. But you've changed my perspective and experience of trying to actually project now versus just lucid dreaming and being able to control them when they come to me.
I'm
And
glad.
I'm hoping I don't get, I've heard you mention it, and I'm hoping I don't get to another point where I'm too wrapped up in it, because that can affect you too if you constantly just, want to lucid dream or astral project, and then you can't, and you get frustrated about it, and it's the way our human brains work. We get fixated on things, and then we're upset when they don't work.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, and I've tried it the last 3 nights, and tonight I might just roll over on my side and go to sleep,
Well, actually, there's a good point about that too as well. Like, it's about finding a balance. And I know from my own experiences, and one of the things, what it sounds like with your experience, the first one you were sharing, is that people have had, and me included, when you have these amazing experiences, sometimes it can actually be more depressing because, like, you come back to life, like regular life, and you're like, oh shit, I want to be in that.
Right.
I want to be in that moment again. I want to be wherever that was. But
Yeah.
I think some of the balance that I've found and some of the people I've talked to as well is starting to, and I think you were getting close where it was it seemed like you might have been having a concern that your dreams were kind of affecting your reality and your were having that effect, right?
Right.
But just like sleep paralysis, how it can be terrifying until you're able to kind of control it yourself. If the dreams and the projection that you can, control and manipulate at night, if you can start affecting your daytime reality and balance the two. With not a, you don't want to control reality, the objective reality. You don't want to control other people. That's negative thinking. That's bad for you. That's bad for you as an
All right.
individual to think to want to do that kind of stuff. But like, if you wake up in the morning and you write down what you want to do with your day or what how you want to affect the reality during the day. That's kind of what people talk about when they talk about manifesting things, because you can be speaking to the universe as a whole the same way as you in your subjective dream, you're speaking to your own, subconscious. You can speak to the universal conscious, universal consciousness, and it will help to manifest things as you move, through the day. And if you use a journal the same way you use one at night and in the morning, like you at night you can use a journal to write down how you want to have a dream at night, like your goals. You wake up in the morning, you write down the dreams you had, you write down if you projected. You can also write down, this is what I want to do with my day. And little things will pop up, coincidences and synchronicities will pop up where you'll meet somebody or some sort of thing will happen, giving you a little insight or giving you an opportunity that you might need. And the trick is to know when those things are happening and and take advantage of that opportunity, and also know that the universe isn't going to mail you a lottery check. It's not like you're literally not going to open up your mailbox and there's not going to be, you know, $1 million sitting there waiting for you. You actually have to go into the world and work on something, the same way that me doing this podcast, that people have listened to the opening first episode where I had no idea what I was doing, and I still don't really, but that one was like very fresh. So I'm literally like not knowing what I'm doing. I press record and I send it out there, and then all of a sudden people are coming back to me, just like you sent an email and now we're talking to each other. So that's a physical manifestation of affecting the universe. I'm sending a signal out there and I'm getting something back.
Right. I mean, otherwise, like if you had never made this podcast, I'm assuming you're somewhere up in New York. That's what, you know, where the number came from. I'm down in Mississippi.
Yeah. I was
chances of us ever crossing paths would have been about zero.
Yeah.
You know,
even on Facebook, and it's still hard to connect specifically with people on purpose.
Right. I mean, there's so many of us, and you know, we manifested this, and you know, like you said, we crossed paths, and it's two people with like minds trying to reach like goals with something. No, it's beautiful, man.
Yeah, and the amount of people that you, from sharing your experience, the amount of people that you're going to affect and be, you know, and help is, you know, you have no idea where it's going to go, and people will be, it'll benefit people.
Yeah. I hope so, man. That's why, you know, I wanted to reach out, and, you know, I've heard you talk about it with other people, and it's a weird topic, you know. I like to share my experiences, and I have with some people, but some people look at you like you're completely crazy. I actually remember, just kind of quick, and rest in power, Michael, the restaurant that I actually worked at, they had a man that worked there in our kitchen, and I don't remember what he was, but it was a wizard or something. You know, he was part of some, I mean, the best way to describe it is a cult. You know, that term gets a lot of negative, you know, persona, you know, but he was in something, and he was really big, you know, into dreaming and astral projection. And I remember kind of talking to him about it. And even with him and me, somebody who had experienced what was going on, when he started talking to me about astral projection and energies and all this other stuff, I looked at him like he was crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's coming from somebody who had actually experienced it. And you know, so you start talking to people that have never had a lucid dream, never heard of it, and you start talking about projecting your energy, and they're going to think that you're mad, you know? And so it is kind of hard to reach out and find people that will speak about this. And, you know, I've mentioned it to friends that say that they've done it and they've never told anybody, you know, but after hearing me talk about it, I've done it, then they open up and tell me kind of some of their experiences, you know?
Yeah, well, luckily, my objective with doing this is not to get very popular. Like, you know, I'm not going to advertise and all that. I'm more happy that people who are searching for something, like I was, I did the same thing you did. I was searching for a podcast. I found nothing. And I said, okay, I'll just do it myself.
There we go, man.
That was
awesome.
It. Yeah.
That is awesome, man.
All right. So,
and,
If
go ahead.
Do you have anything else? Otherwise, I'll.
No. No, man. That was it.
All right. Yeah, and we can talk later. You know, if you have other things or text.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll definitely keep you. If I have any more breakthroughs with the projection, and I look forward to, you know, hearing more about how your experiences are going.
Cool.
So.
And you feel do you feel good about the whole conversation and putting it up?
No, yeah, it's perfectly fine, man.
All right, cool.
So,
All right, man. It's been
I appreciate it, Damon, and good luck with everything, man. You know, out of all the things we've said, I think the most important is not to get too caught up in it. You have to truly believe it can happen, but don't make it your, you know, priority throughout the day to only think about that, you know?
Yeah.
So it has to be a subconscious thing, not a conscious thing. And if all you're doing is thinking about it, you're not really making it subconscious, you know?
Yeah, not let it consume you.
Yeah.
All
So,
right. All right, cool,
well,
man.
look, Damon, you have a good night, man. I appreciate it. And reach out if you got any questions for me, and I'll do the same. I'll keep in touch.
Absolutely, man. We'll keep in touch. Thanks.
Take it easy.
All right,
Bye.
bye.